Hi guys, this is Dillis.
Hello everybody, this is Jacob Minang.
Welcome to the 15th week of the Let's Talk podcast on the book Fighting the Good Fight. Today, Jacob and I would be talking about chapter 15 of the book, which is titled Growing the Fruit of Understanding. As usual, before we start, Jacob would lead us in a word of prayer.
Let us pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. O Lord, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Okay, guys, so this week is an exceptional week. I happen to have come down with a cold, so you're going to bear with me today as we do this podcast. But because of that, Jacob has so joyfully offered to step in and read for me. So, Jacob, take it away.
Chapter 15, Growing the Fruits of Understanding, Scripture Passage. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have you ever heard of the book, Men Are from Mars and Women Are from Venus? The book title has turned into a saying that often surfaces in discussions about the differences between men and women, emphasizing that we might as well be from different planets because we seem so different at times. It's playful, but it hints at something deeper and essential for couples to remember. There are inherent differences in our perspectives, communication styles, emotional responses, and ways of handling conflict. These differences, though, are not meant to be a hindrance, but an opportunity for growth and deeper understanding in a relationship. The Christian journey and our vocation as couples calls us to seek understanding, not only of God's word, but also of his creation, including our fellow human beings and our fellowship with our spouses. At the center of the Spirit's gifts lies the profound gift of understanding, which when embraced, nurtures the fruits of the Spirit in our lives and marriages. Life presents us with countless situations that demand our understanding. The Spirit of understanding acts as a guiding light, bringing clarity in times of obscurity and peace amidst turbulence. As we embrace this Spirit, it infuses our actions, thoughts, and words, expanding our capacity to love, be patient, kind, and gentle, attributes akin to those of our Heavenly Father. Within the sacred covenant of marriage, symbolizing Christ's relationship with the church, a deep understanding of our spouses becomes paramount. Through the Spirit of understanding, we gain the ability to empathize with our parents, offering solace in times of trial, sharing in moments of triumph, and demonstrating patience and kindness even during disagreements. Understanding does not entail turning a blind eye to faults. Rather, it involves acknowledging them while choosing love. It necessitates embracing the unique individuality of our spouses, fostering mutual respect and a sense of equality. The Spirit of understanding also serves as our compass in relating to those around us. In a world teeming with diversities and complexities, understanding equips us to appreciate differences and construct bridges instead of walls. As we cultivate the fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, we become vessels of God's transformative power within our communities. The Spirit of understanding plays a vital role in both the vocation of a wife and the vocation of a husband, cultivating unity and harmony within married couples. For a wife, embracing the Spirit of understanding allows her to empathize with her husband, offering support and encouragement in his endeavors. It enables her to appreciate his unique strengths and challenges, fostering a sense of partnership and mutual respect. Likewise, for a husband, the Spirit of understanding guides him to value his wife's aspirations, dreams, and struggles. It empowers him to be attentive to her needs, to communicate effectively, and to cherish her individuality. By embracing the spirit of understanding, both spouses create room for unity and harmony in their marriage as they seek to understand and appreciate each other's perspectives, thus strengthening their bond as they journey together in their respective vocations. Understanding in marriage doesn't mean you will agree on every issue, but rather you appreciate your partner's viewpoint. It's a journey, not a destination. As you grow in understanding, you will also grow in love and unity. You are not from different planets. You are uniquely created by God, brought together to learn from and support one another in this adventure of marriage. It is crucial to acknowledge that understanding your spouse begins with understanding oneself. This means recognizing your unique values, biases, and expectations. With this self-awareness, you can then cultivate the patience and grace necessary to truly understand your spouse, remembering that their views and experiences are just as complex and deep as your own. Let us reflect upon Philippians 2, verse 4. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Our Creator urges us to comprehend the perspectives, pains, and passions of others. By doing so, we foster a spirit of unity and harmony, embodying the essence of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. By cultivating the spirit of understanding, we draw closer to realizing our potential as God's children. The world yearns for love, peace, kindness, and all the fruits of the Spirit that can flow through us. Let us wholeheartedly embrace the spirit of understanding, allowing it to transform us and our relationships, thereby becoming conduits of God's grace and love in the world. Reflection question: how can you actively cultivate the spirit of understanding in your marriage? And how might this deeper understanding of each other's perspectives and needs enhance unity and harmony in your relationship? Action step for the week. Take intentional time this week to have a heart-to-heart conversation with your spouse, actively listening to their thoughts, feelings, and dreams. Seek to understand them on a deeper level, showing empathy and support. Reflect together on how this practice of understanding can foster unity and harmony in your marriage.
Thank you, Jacob, for that great read. Let me try to situate all those that are joining us for the first time. So this chapter is found in section 3 of the book that's talking about growing the fruits of understanding. Prior to section 3 of this book, we've gone to section 2 of the book, and section 2 of the book spanned from chapter 5 to chapter 12. And it was talking about the pruning process, the hardships we go through, how God uses those hardships to prune us from the many bad fruits that we have allowed to grow within our lives. Each chapter took one of those spirits and just expanded on how through that spirit we turn to grow bad fruits that then Christ needs to put us through the hardship in life to help us prune, to help prune those bad fruits in our lives. So, but just keeping in mind that those fruits need to be pruned, because when we have those existing, it's hard for the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. And that takes us to section 1, which is talking about the key ingredients that we need to make a successful marriage. And the key ingredients are having the Holy Spirit dwell in you and your spouse. And because you have that Holy Spirit, it will help you, the wife, to submit to your spouse out of respect, to submit with respect out of reverence for Christ. And it will help the husband to submit with love out of reverence for Christ. And this submission is needed because the husband has been given an authority to lead this family, to bring them towards God, and to set a clear vision for their life, for the family, that would be able to meet the mission that has been entrusted to him, which is to bring himself, the wife, and the children towards God. So just to put it in context, we've talked about those key areas, and then we talked about the reasons why we don't really succeed in doing those key things, because we turn to grow these bad fruits that hinder us. And so God uses the hardship to prune us. And also, there's a second purpose for pruning. It's not just to take out the bad fruits. It's to grow the good fruits. And when you are growing the good fruit. This is how it looks like. And we started last week with growing the fruits of wisdom, how we end up growing those fruits. And this week, we're talking about how we can grow the fruits of understanding, beginning with the scripture that says, let each of us look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. That's coming right out of Philippians 2 verse 4. And it's the best advice you can give to make someone show understanding in every situation.
Well, thank you, Delis, for that nice recap that hopefully situates those that are joining us for the first time, those that just received their book, or those that haven't bought their books yet, make sure you get it. And so if you go back and then you watch the prior podcast, you easily get caught up. And that Bible verse couldn't be more apt because it's not talking about selfishness, but it's talking about emphasizing the fact that we have to be open to understanding the opposing or different perspectives of mm-hmm. our spouse when we're in any in a relationship, mm-hmm. and that will open us to plenty of the fruits of understanding. Remember that Dilly so aptly titled this each of these chapters. It talks about the fruits of, which means that she's focusing on the benefits of understanding, which are the fruits. But understanding itself is a gift, not a fruit.
Yeah.
But the fruits that it engenders are going to be the ninefold fruits of the Spirit, which are going to be your love, your peace, your kindness, your patience, your gentleness, your faithfulness, and your self-control.
Self-control.
And all of that, yes.
Yeah.
So the focus is really on the fruits that this gift engenders, because this gift is given to you freely by the Spirit, just yes. like the gift of wisdom. And so the focus is really on those fruits, being able to grow those fruits that emanate from you having this gift of wisdom of understanding.
Yeah.
And so what is understanding then? So understanding then is basically just means you being able to appreciate the other person's viewpoint. Yeah. Which is what St. Paul's letter to the Philippians was talking about in the quote that Delis so mm-hmm. aptly opened the chapter with. And so understanding is a journey. So it's something they have to live on a daily basis.
Yeah.
It's not a destination. You don't arrive at understanding, oh, we got it covered. It's a day-to-day situational living experience that you have to have.
With couples, Jacob, it's very important to point that out, because you see someone just married to their significant other, their sweetheart. You see them just marry yesterday and then they start having issues and they're like, but she should understand. But right. he should understand.
Oh,
right?
Oh, he loves me or we are in love. I don't know why
it's why they cannot way. Understand. Right. Understanding is not a destination. It's not a one and done. It is very much something that is cultivated, is brought into the marriage. You need to accept that gift of understanding use it. Yes, and use it in your marriage. You cannot just say, oh, well, they should understand.
There's a requirement for intentionality. So I remember I read this book that a friend introduced to me last week by a group of people that they actually styled themselves the Transformative Leadership Academy. But the first chapter of that book actually caught my attention, and because of the fact that it kind of informs almost everything that you do in a relationship as a couple, the idea of being intentional.
So
the title of the book is really the 15 laws, the 15 laws of growth, that if you live them in your life, you can meet your full potential. And the very first law that the person proposes is the law of intentionality. Yeah. Everything we do in life, you're intentional about it. You have to be intentional in accepting the spirit of wisdom that we talked about last week, and accepting the spirit of understanding in your life. If you're not intentional about being about wanting to understand another person's point of view, it's going to be difficult.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And of course, once you're intentional and you accept that spirit of understanding, it helps you to grow in the love that you need. Right,
exactly.
In the marriage and in unity, it helps you guys to both start working together because you understand each other. Right?
And it's interesting you say that where you say you put growth and love side by side,
mm-hmm.
and it's strange because what our experience has been that couples start by saying that
they're in love,
by professing that they're in love, they're in the euphoric phase, and then they seem to instead grow out of love. over time. Meanwhile, you're supposed to only to grow, continue to grow in love to, until you get to the vintage point. Your love is supposed to only grow, which tells you that there's something wrong about that picture, those early weeks or early months or early years where they're claiming that they were in love.
It's because they confuse that word love for the early phases of infatuation.
Yeah, those feelings that they feel, the butterfly feelings that you have. The feelings of attraction, which makes you to want to consider the other person to at least give a second look.
Because you
not put those feelings there intentionally, but that is not really what love is. But that's what ultimately leads to you getting to the line of love.
Yeah, because if you really understand love, you understand its sacrificial nature.
Exactly.
So you would not be able to describe it as when you're receiving all this warmth feeling.
That's attraction, and there's a place for it. God put it in us intentionally, because you need that initial attraction to give that person a second look, but it requires growing and intentionality to be able to then to move from there to true
into
love,
true
which is
love.
Really sacrificial, where you're willing to die for that person.
Which is why, Jacob, I think I applaud our culture coming from the fact that you could see a couple in our parents' days, a couple that were brought together by my mother saw this child and thought that it would be a perfect wife for this person, and it was arranged.
My best friend's daughter, and like, what better a girl to marry my son, right?
My son, right?
Yeah. And so and eventually that worked out. Yeah,
that became the way they started their life, but because they grew
in love, not they, that they started off by being in love with
And we've seen a lot of couples that have been that intentional, and they made it, and it wasn't the divorce rate, like I would say, was not as rampant as we have it now, where we are actively choosing to fall for certain people out of our attractions and saying,
so the attractiveness is what is making the decision. The attractiveness is what's supposed to make you give the person a second look. But once you'll be attracted, because there's a place for attraction. You have to be attracted to somebody. So we're not disparaging attraction. We're not disparaging those early feelings. But that's where it starts. But that's not what it would determine the destination, because you're going to get a chance to be attracted to multiple people. Mm-hmm. But the one that you decide that you want to invest in to take that second look, you have to do what it takes, and it requires a lot of intentionality.
And so
that growth in love and unity, it can only come from you accepting the sevenfold gifts of the Spirit. And in this case, Delis is really focusing on understanding.
Yeah. And you know, it's in this vocation of marriage, you are actually called to do two things. You're called to understand two things, to understand God's word and to understand God's creation.
Exactly.
So it goes hand in hand. You cannot just say, oh, I'm going to understand only my spouse. If you don't understand God's word, you cannot understand that your spouse is a child of God, just like you are a child of God. If you don't understand God's word, you cannot understand that your spouse has fallen from grace, just like you have fallen from grace.
Yeah, we are all fallen. Yeah. And
if you don't understand God's word, you will not understand that your spouse, just like you, are being offered redemption through Christ Jesus, right? And you not understand that Christ is offering you that redemption and is calling you to be intentional about walking in his light, walking in the Christ-like way. And that's how, walking in that Christ-like way, you predispose yourself to receive these gifts of the Holy Spirit, which last week we talked about wisdom. And this week, one of the gifts you receive is understanding. And so it's both. A lot of us think that we just have to understand our spouse and we're good. We have to understand our spouse, but we are called to understand God's word also, which is part of reading his word, reading the Bible.
Right.
So like you said, that the understanding ends up with us cultivating, growing the fruits.
The core ninefold fruits of the Spirit. So there are so many fruits, but these nine seem to be central. And for every one of the seven gifts of the Spirit that the list is outlining, you will ultimately end up with one or several of these fruits. And that's why the list is focused really on each of the chapter is on those fruits, because the gift of understanding It's a gift and it's given to you freely. It's given out of God's grace. Mm-hmm. But if you accept and open your heart to that gift of understanding, that's when you can then benefit from being able to grow the fruits that it engenders, which mm-hmm. will be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and most importantly, self-control.
Yeah. Yeah. So there are a couple of myths that I think we should talk about. And as you do your couple's devotional today with your spouse, I would like you to also talk about some of these myths, right? The myth that men are from Mars and women are from Venice. I think that this is one of the world's biggest success in just making us think that we're so different.
So it exaggerates the differences between men and women beyond just the biological differences.
Yes, it makes you think you're so different when truly we'll come to the facts. You truly are not. You are made in God's image. You're made to be equal.
Both made, yeah.
You're made to be equal and you're both called to this vocation of marriage. So you're not that different, people. You both have feelings, you have emotions, you have you've both fallen, you've both been offered redemption in Christ. And if you are intentional about understanding your similarities, you realize that you're not that different. I'm not that different from Jacob. He's not that different.
So outside of our biological gender roles, a lot of what we think are gender roles really are not. A lot of what the men are doing, the women could do. And a lot of what the women are doing, the men could do if they only allow themselves, if they only allow the spirit of understanding to come into them. The man will not think that, oh, it's a woman's job to clean the house, to cook. Because, hey, my mother did that. But there's a reason why your mother did that. Because maybe between your mom and your dad, there was an understanding that your mom was going to take care of the things, the work that is at home, while your dad goes out there and look for income. Mm-hmm. But you could not put a monetary value to what mom did. Because if you did, it probably was a lot more than what dad was
bringing up. Dad went out to do.
I mean, the way it was offsetting the revenue that could not be brought in, you probably could not put a monetary value to it. And so if you have the opportunity to have a wife that's also going to go out there and work like you, then whatever is happening at home, you either have to get paid help or eat, or both of you have to chime in.
Yeah.
It will not be a woman's job. And vice versa, the woman should not think that it was a man's job to do the laundry or to fold the clothes, mm-hmm. or the things that seem like they need a little bit more energy. Because surprisingly, depending on the couple dynamic, the woman might actually be the one that has a lot more energy, that can do a lot more physically demanding tasks.
Yeah.
Depending on the man. But you have to look at your relationships individually and look at your strengths and your weaknesses. And that requires taking advantage of the spirit of understanding.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that, Jacob, because you guys are not different. You don't have differences. You have strengths and you have weaknesses. And if you start looking at them as these are the strengths and these are the weaknesses of my, I prepare an enrich portal teaches us, but you have strengths.
Areas of growth.
Areas.
Yeah, not weaknesses, actually. Thanks for that question, Delisa. So you have strengths and you have areas of growth. And the areas of strength, you really want to maximize and make sure that you're using them to reach your full potential, which is what you touch on in the first section of the book where you talked about the chapter 2, you talk about the man exercising authority. Mm-hmm. And you emphasize the fact that it's very important for him to exercise authority in a way that creates an enabling environment for the wife to meet her full potential.
Mm-hmm.
Because it only benefits the man and the entire family unit if the woman can meet her full potential. And to do that, you have to recognize the woman's strengths and recognize your area of growth. And so that it doesn't end up being a negative competition.
Exactly. And it doesn't end up being that your inherent differences or in perspective, in communication styles, in emotional responses, right? And ways of handling conflicts become a hindrance in building unity in your marriage.
Yeah.
Because the world terms that differences, we just term that strengths and growth areas. You have a good strength in communicating, maybe your spouse doesn't, then find a way to bring that strength to your relationship, right? I think in particular for us, Jacob, I will get somewhere and never think I should call and just say I've arrived.
Right.
But you get somewhere and the first thing you think of is calling to say we've arrived. That could be a very huge a problem for us where you complain all the time that I go and I don't call, but you don't. You know that, okay, I'm on the road and I'm going somewhere that would take me about an hour and a half. And you circle around that time and you just
check in.
Yeah. And that's where you bring that communication part about you to the table really well. And so you make up for my deficiency in communicating in that area.
Yeah, so yeah. I see you've just nicely replaced weakness with efficiency, but yeah, but growth area. And yeah, yeah. And then there's another myth that people think about with understanding, because they think understanding is a destination, like, oh, he's either understanding or he's not.
No.
She's either understanding or he's not. No, it's a journey. It's not a destination. You don't get into the relationship already so in doubt in understanding, just like you're not so already so in doubt in wisdom. You have to accept it and then be open to the other person's perspective. Mm-hmm. And so understanding would not mean that you're turning a blind eye to the other person's fault.
Oh, yeah. That's the biggest myth of all. And I think this is the myth that really helps to kill a lot of marriages, where you think that, oh, because I turn a blind eye.
No, because I'm understanding, I should not say anything.
Yeah, I should not say anything. Or,
but that's just conflict avoidance.
Yes, that's conflict avoidance. Because if you are understanding, I don't think, Jacob, you ever pass up the chance to help me understand that it's important for me to call when I get to my destination.
Right. Without whining about it.
Yes, yes.
It's always about the way you have a conversation.
Yeah.
Right. Because it only benefits you if the other person can improve. As we said, everything is work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
Even the concept of understanding is a journey. Thinking about the love analogy that we gave, people mm-hmm. think that with the start of the relationship, they're so much in love. Then how come you seem to go downhill instead? You're supposed to grow in love. It's a journey. So in the same vein, if saying that your understanding does not mean that you ignore mistakes that people do. No.
And then on the other side, this then, ignoring the mistake and turning a blind eye, it only allows for the devil to come in and just create bitterness, right? So you see a couple and the man will say, you know what, who cares? I'm not going to call her. She never calls when she gets there. So I'm not going to call. And then that bitterness rolls up. And then you could even get to the point where you, Jacob, now start saying, well, now that she's not calling me when she goes, I'm not going to call too. But that only comes up when you start turning a blind eye from seeing where that person is coming from.
Struggling.
And actually helping them by providing nurturing, encouraging words for them to be able to improve in that.
And that's why at least you describe it as a growth area, right? And not a weakness, because you start blaming the person or hounding them for having that weakness. Mm-hmm. But if you see it as a growth area, and then if it's an area where somebody needs to grow, what do you do when a plant needs to grow? You nurture it. So you have conversations that are more nurturing than acrimonious to help the person to be able to see, like in your case, at least that why it's important for you to call when you get to destination. So I know you are there. And then maybe I can go to bed if it was going to be an overnight place, instead of me sitting up and wondering whether you got there or you're still on the way or something happened. And in the same vein, I cannot say I'm so angry, I'm not going to check on you, because what if something went wrong? What if checking on you was that call that would have woken you up when you were getting sleepy on the wheel?
And all of that is very important, because there are also some known facts about understanding.
Right.
And then the first known fact is that you're not as different as you think.
Beyond the biological gender differences, yes.
Yeah, you're both created in God's image, right? Mm-hmm. And even those biological gender differences, Jacob, I think it's funny because when this passage says we're both created in God's image, people tend to think, oh, but the man has this and the woman has this. Yeah, so how
can the woman can carry a baby to term and the man cannot? That's what I'm talking about. The obvious biological differences beyond that.
Mm-hmm. The soul is the same.
Yes.
The soul is the same.
And remember that the body is just a vessel. And so once you leave the body, then it's the same people. And if you remember what the mission is that you very aptly describe in the introductory chapter, which is to get reunited with God. It's not a woman that's going to be reunited with God. It's not a man that's going to be reunited with us, with God. It's just the soul.
It's
identical. Yeah. But on the planet, you've been given a biological role that's linked to procreation for man and woman.
It's like
once the baby comes here in the world, you both play a role depending on your strength and your areas of growth.
Yes, yes. And it's like my mom likes to say, I think she quotes another person that always says, this body we have are cartoons. They're just shells that are carrying the soul. And that's the image of God, that soul that is in you is the same as the soul that's in me. And that soul takes us now to the next fact. That soul is affected by our desires and our fears. It doesn't matter who you are. You have a desire, you have a fear. And that's what is driving our poor communication, our emotional responses, the way we handle conflicts. That's all what is driving that to create more acrimonious situations between in our marriage. So realizing that both of you have those, right? So when you approach a conversation and you know that both of you have those, you can be more understanding towards each other. I can approach it knowing that, well, Jacob's complaint about me not calling is his fear that I probably might, something wrong might happen to me, right? It's that fear, right? Jacob's worry about me stems from that fear. And then I can then be able to come back with a conversation that is not as disrespectful, like someone would say, well, you knew that I was going there. If you didn't hear from me, it was okay.
If you understand people's fears, and then you can have a conversation that is more focused on trying to allay the person's fears, right? Rather than being dismissive about the things that are obvious. Yeah. And so this
period of understand their desires, I need to talk about the desire part.
Right.
Because if you understand their desire, then you can be more apologetic. You can be more sympathetic, and you can really show empathy in your apology when you see that you have slighted one of those desires too, because that's what it calls for.
Right. Yeah. And so the spirit of understanding, then if you understand that we are all both created by God in God's image, and sometimes we all have fears and desires that will attempt to drive our actions, then you realize that the spirit of understanding plays a vital role in both the vocation of the wife and the vocation of the husband.
Yeah, definitely. Like, for example, for a wife, that spirit, embracing that spirit of understanding, can help you to empathize with your husband, mm-hmm. right? They carry a lot on their shoulders, a lot more than you even understand, especially when it comes to the emotional aspect, because we live in a world where it's not that obvious for them to just do the emotional thing. Some of them are brought up to know that, okay, this emotional thing should not even surface.
So the cultural context that exaggerate the differences.
The differences, in the It also helps you to offer support. Now, when you can empathize, you can offer support and encourage them in their endeavors, right? So it you now become very relevant in that conversation. And that's how calm they can share their dreams with you, because you can empathize. You won't laugh. You won't joke about it. You won't use it to belittle them. They can share their dreams with you because you're going to offer support. You're going to encourage them. You're going to provide some nurturing atmosphere for that dream to grow, right? And of course, last but not the least, it enables you to see and appreciate his unique strengths and challenges, and then foster some sense of partnership and mutual respect.
I hear that's one of those variations of the word weakness, because weakness is not such a great word in relationships.
Challenges
is a better word. Yeah. Areas of growth, I even like that better, because then it shows that there's some nurturing that needs to take place.
Yeah.
And so for a man, then, as an example of the impact of accepting and welcoming the spirit of understanding, is that you find yourself valuing your wife's aspirations and dreams better. So it's almost like a mirror of what is happening with the woman as well. You tend to be more attentive. And again, because of the cultural pressures, women tend to express their needs in a different way. They talk more about their wants. Mm-hmm. They need to be able to dig deep to see mm-hmm. where their needs lie, because where they have their needs, there, they are vulnerable.
You're able to understand the emotional aspect a little bit if you exactly. are attentive.
And born from that, obviously, therefore, you become more effective in your communication between the two of you, and you will be able to better cherish your wife's individuality.
So having learned all this or having heard all this from Jacob and I think the key drive, the key lesson we're trying to
take home message.
Thank you for that. The take home message that we're trying to pass on today is that the spirit of understanding, you need to first, in order to cultivate, grow the spirit of understanding,
really be more welcoming and accepting of the spirit of understanding,
and hopefully get its fruits. Yeah, you need to understand yourself, right? And this is what we want you guys to talk about. How much do you understand yourself? How much do you know your value? How much do you know your biases? How much do you know your expectations? Because those are all the things that lead you down the path of different assumptions, different problems, and then it causes you guys to have this disagreements that are very unnecessary. So today's exercise is really helping you to use this spirit to understand yourself. Because if you don't understand yourself, you can't understand the
author. So it starts from you. Would this spirit cause for introspection? So your best initial use of this spirit is in your understanding and understanding yourself in three areas. So what are your values? What are the values that you cannot compromise on? What's your worldview? What's your personal schema? Mm-hmm. What defines you? What makes you you? And then what are your biases? And of course, what are your expectations? Almost like the expectations you have going in. But the beauty about those expectations is then when you start understanding another person's expectations and the differences and overlaps between the two, it gives you more understanding now in the differences in perspective.
Yeah. So we've come to the end of this particular podcast. And as always, Jacob is going to lead us in a closing prayer, and then we would wrap up.
Okay, thank you, Delis. Let us pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you as a couple, grateful for the wisdom and revelation you have bestowed upon us through your spirit of understanding. We ask for your guidance as we strive to cultivate deeper understanding in our marriage. Help us to have open hearts and listening ears, that we may truly grasp the hopes, dreams, and challenges of our spouse. May the spirit of understanding strengthen the unity and harmony in our relationship, allowing us to love, support, and respect one another more deeply. Grant us the grace to navigate disagreements with patience and kindness, always choosing love above all else. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jacob. So guys, next week Tuesday, we'll put out the next podcast, which would be the podcast from chapter 16 of the book, Growing the Fruits of Counsel. So this is another the spirit of counsel. And of course, Thursday evening, join us at 9 p.m. for a live chat. And if there's a couple out there that would like to come up and talk about the way they use the spirit of understanding in their marriage, or how they have been able to incorporate this this devotional in this period that we've been doing it, we would love to have you come on and talk to us for a little bit about that. So reach out to Jacob or I. And right at the bottom of this link, as this podcast is airing, you can drop any questions there and we will be able to respond to it on Thursday at 9 p.m.
So please, if you're listening this on YouTube, please like, share, and subscribe. And more importantly, click on the alarm bell. That way you can receive an alert for immediately our podcasts are released. Thank you, and talk to you guys on Thursday.
Goodbye. Let's talk about love. Like you and me all night, and let's talk about love.